إن الحمد لله لا لو عندنا بقى ايه هنا لسه ما يجيش بقى ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises, thanks and adorations are due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى alone without partners. We ask for His mercy and blessings upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Today being the 15th day of Ramadan, 1446 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah to Medina, which is equivalent to the 4th of March 2026. Today, inshallah, we will be continuing our tafsir from Quran chapter 2, verse 170, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 170, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. نعم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا أولو كان آباؤهم لا يعقلون شيئا ولا يهتدون ومثل الذين كفروا كمثل الذي ينعق بما لا يسمع إلا دعاء ونداء صم عمي فهم لا يعقلون يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به من غير الله فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزل الله من الكتاب ويشترون به ثمنا قليلا أولئك ما يذكرون في بطونهم إلا النار ولا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى والعذاب بالمغفرة فما أصبرهم على النار. ذلك بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق وإن الذين اختلفوا بالكتاب لفي شقاق بعيد.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned concerning Iblis that إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that Iblis would only instruct you to do evil and to commit immoral acts and to say concerning Allah what you do not know. Allah said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ, and when it is said to them, اتبعوا ما أنزل الله, follow that which Allah سبحانه وتعالى had revealed. قالوا, they would say, بل اتبعوا ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا, rather we will follow what we found our forefathers upon. Allah said, أولو كان آباؤهم لا يعقلون شيئا ولا يهتدون, is it that they would follow the paths of their forefathers even if it happens to be that their forefathers لا يعقلون شيئا, do not understand anything, ولا يهتدون, and they do not have guidance. He said, ومثل الذين كفروا, and the similitude of those who disbelieve, كمثل الذي ينعق بما لا يسمع إلا دعاء ونداء, is like the person who shouts at ما لا يسمع, something that does not hear, إلا دعاء ونداء, except calls and cries. Summun, they are deaf. Bukmun, they are dumb. Umyun, they are blind, for whom la ya'qilun, and so they don't understand. Allah mentions concerning these people, the holy days, that are called to follow the path of Allah, that إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ, follow what has been revealed from Allah. That is the instruction of Allah, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ, follow that which has come from your Lord. And what comes from Allah is basically revelation. It could be in the form of Quran, it could be in the form of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah said, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his desires, all his days are basically revelations. So Allah said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ, when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, in the form of Quran, in the form of hadith, قالوا, they say, بل, this بل we have said is al-idrak. It cancels what has been mentioned before and establishes what comes after it. Al-idrak al-ta'abim. بل نتبعوا. Meaning, we will not follow what has been revealed by Allah. Rather, we will follow ما ألفينا, يعني ما وجدنا عليه. We will follow what we have found our forefathers upon. Meaning, we will blindly follow them. And this verse clearly condemns blind followership. That even when people see what comes from Allah and they find verses of the Quran, they find a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam condemning what they are upon, they still want to insist on following what they have found their forefathers doing. Allah said, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ, is it even when their forefathers are such that لا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا, they do not know anything, وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ, and they do not have any guidance. So like we said, this is basically condemning blind followership in the face of what has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muslims are expected to always be open to accepting what comes from Allah, accepting what comes in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without really having to insist on remaining on the deen and followership and the deen and understanding of their prophets like we see today. Allah said, وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and the similitude, the life of those who disbelieve, كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي يَنْعِقُ, it's like the one who is shouting. Shouting at who? Shouting out مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ, something that does not hear إِلَّا دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً. All he hears is just the shout and the cries. It is like a person who is shouting at an animal, maybe a donkey.
And he was saying, move away from there, move away from there, shouting at the donkey. All the donkey hears is just the shout. It is the cry. It does not understand what is said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the similitude of those who disbelieve are like that. They are summun, they are deaf, bukmun, dumb, and umyun, blind for whom la ya'qilun. They don't understand. They have eyes with which they don't see, they have ears with which they don't hear, they have hearts with which they don't understand. So summun here means they are deaf to they are deaf to the truth. They don't hear the truth. Wabukmun, they are dumb to say the truth. Wa'umyun, and they are blind towards saying the truth. For whom la ya'qilun, and such they don't understand. So this is basically condemning people who would hear the truth but would not comprehend. They would refuse to understand even when they understand. Some scholars would say that it is referring to their idols that they call. And when they call their idols, it is like summu bukmun umyun for whom la ya'qilun. The idols do not really understand. But the most upheld interpretation is that those who call on the unbelievers, it is like calling on a person who has refused to see the truth. He sees it clearly, but he doesn't see. He hears it, but he doesn't hear. He understands what he refuses to understand. So that is their similitude, and that is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described them. So he said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum washkuru lillahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به من غير الله فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم.
Kulu min tayyibat ma razaqnakum. Eat from the good things we have provided for you. Tayyibat, the good things. Things that are nutritious to your body. Tayyibat ma razaqnakum. Those good things we have provided for you. Washkuru lillahi. And when you eat them, you consume them, be grateful to Allah. In kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. If it is only He, Allah, you worship. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ. Allah has only prohibited for you الْمَيْتَةَ, all forms of dead animals, وَالْدَمَى, and all forms of blood, وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ, and the flesh of swines or pigs, وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, and whatever the name of Allah or the name of other than Allah has been declared at the point of slaughtering. Allah said, فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاجٍ. However, anybody that is forced to eat one of these things out of necessity, غَيْرَ بَاعٍ, not out of transgression, وَلَا عَادٍ, or going beyond limits, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ, then there is no sin on him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiven and oft merciful. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages people. You know, these are parts of legislations. The surah is a surah of Medina. It has talked about al-wala'u wal-bara' in the past, defining who you should like, who should you not like, who, how to define people, how to know what people believe in, and forming alliance based on belief. That is what we have talked about before. Now legislations are coming in. And one of the first legislations is what we eat, the permissibility of what we eat and what we shouldn't eat. Allah said we should eat things that He has made lawful for us, that He has prepared for us, that are tayyibat, good things that are nutritious, that will build the body. And then when we eat, we should thank Allah. وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. If He alone you truly worship. And that is because there is a connection between what people eat and the acceptance of their works. When a person eats something that is lawful, that Allah has made lawful for him, then it is most likely that Allah will accept his ibadat and his supplication. And when a person consumes or divorces things that are prohibited, whether because how he got it is haram, or because Allah has made that thing to be prohibited, then it is most likely that his ibadat and supplications are not going to be accepted. Just like it is reported in the hadith that is reported by Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, alayhi rahmatullah, on the authority of Abu Huraira. That popular hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. For you mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. And he does not accept anything except that which is pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And Allah has commanded the believers with what He commanded the messengers of Allah with. The same instruction He gave to the messengers is the same instruction He gave to the believers. فَقَالَ أَلَّا قَدْ يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ. All you the messengers, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Eat from pure things, lawful things. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا and do good works. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. I know all you do. These are instructions to the messengers of Allah. And He said to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. All you who believe, كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from the lawful things we have made. Eat from the good things and nice things we have made, we have provided for you. The Prophet said, he said, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ. Then the Prophet mentioned a man, يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ, who was on a long journey. أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. He was looking shabby and he was looking dusty because he was on a journey. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, stretching his hands to the heavens, saying, يَا رَبْ, oh my Lord, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. The Prophet said, but his food is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ. His drink is haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. And his clothing is haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. And he was nourished with haram. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَٰلِكَ. How would such a person's supplication be accepted? This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim to show the connection between the acceptance of work, the acceptance of supplication, and eating halal. And like we said, eating halal is in two forms. One could be eating what is intrinsically halal, but he got it in a haram way. He is still eating haram. The same is halal, but he got it in a way of haram. What he is eating is haram. A person could get something that is haram intrinsically, meaning huwa najisun. Allah has prohibited it, like alcohol, like pork meat, like dog meat, like every other thing that Allah has prohibited. Consuming those things are part of it, it is haram also. So when a person eats such things, it prevents, it is like an inhibitor that does not make his dua to be accepted from Allah, by Allah. Look at all what the Prophet mentioned here. There are things that will make Allah accept. Each of them is sufficient to make Allah accept a person's prayer. One is that he was on a journey. Being on a journey is one of those cases where a person's prayer will be accepted. He is ash'ata aghbara. He was shabby and dusty. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had talked about such people. Rubba ash'ata aghbara. Madfu'a alayhi al-bab. Lo aqsama ala Allahi al-abarra. There are people that will be like that. They will be shabby, they will be dusty. But when they supplicate to Allah, Allah will accept their prayers. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He was stretching his hands to the heavens. This is also something that makes Allah accept the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah used to be shy that a slave of his would stretch his hands to the heavens and return them without giving him what he wants. And then he said, Ya Rab is one of those names that when you call, Allah will give you what you want. Like Atta bin Abi Rabah said, he said, anybody that says, Rabbana, three times, Allah will give you whatever he wants. Now these are all indications that this man had all what would make his prayers to be accepted. But he had something also that was preventing the prayer from being accepted, and that is what? That his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, he was nourished is haram. So the Prophet was wondering how his prayer will be accepted. So this is to show that it is very important that people should consider what they eat, what they drink, what they wear, and get how they get their sources of livelihood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have made things lawful for you. Kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Eat from the lawful things, those good things we have made for you. Allah made everything lawful, but He made some things to be unlawful. He said, Inna ma harrama alaykum. The only thing that Allah has made unlawful for you. Which means those that are lawful are far more than those that have been made unlawful. And what Allah is telling us here is similar to what He told Nabi Allah Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The first test that Allah gave to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is concerning what to eat. What to eat. That was the first trial Allah gave to him. Eat everything. Eat ويقول يا عالم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة. He was asked to eat everything, but if one single tree was affected, you don't eat it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here also tells us, and He's giving us that same trial, that we have to eat from every good thing that we have made lawful for you. Eat from everything. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. The only thing we have made unlawful for you is al-maytata. All forms, al-maytata. When the alif al-walam is written, then it shows the generality of forms. Istighraqu jinn. All forms of prohibited animals is what we have prohibited for you. Wal-dama, and all forms of blood. وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ, and the flesh of pigs. وَمَا أُمِنَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, and those animals that have been slaughtered, but the names of other than Allah were mentioned when they were to be slaughtered, or they were specifically dedicated to other than Allah, to some idols, to some systems, to some jinns, to some people. Such are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Allah now said, however, whoever finds himself forced to eat any of these out of necessity, غير باجل, not because he is transgressing limits, ولا عالم, not because he is going beyond the limits, فلا إثم عليه. Allah said there is no sin on such a person. So here Allah said the things he has prohibited is al-mayta, all forms of dead animals, and the forms of dead animals are mentioned there in Surah Al-Ma'idah. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع. These are five forms of dead animals. Whether they were strangled to death, or they fell from the height, or there was a fight between two and one knocked out the other, or maybe there was an impact, or it fell from a height, or it was eaten by an animal, then all of these are forms of dead animals. They are all prohibited. Except that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on this interpretation, and that is why the Quran alone is not what Allah wants us to use. The explanation of the Quran is found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here, if we are to take all forms of dead animals, it will include fishes, it will include locusts. If we are to include all forms of blood, it will include the blood that is contained in a meat or in a flesh, because it is also called blood. It will include the liver, it will include the spleen. But the hadith has explained to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uhillat lana al-maytatani wa dama'an." Two types of dead animals have been made lawful for us, and two types of blood have been made lawful for us. This is an explanation or an exceptional situation to the generality of what the Quran taught. The Quran said all forms of dead animals, and the hadith exempted two. He said, al-jarad wal-fut, the locust, what we call grasshoppers, and its lights, the winged termites, they all fall under the family of locusts. So even when they are dead, we can eat them without slaughtering. The second category of dead animals are the fishes. Like the hadith mentioned in when somebody came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we travel through sea and we take a little water from where we travel. If we drink from that water that we are carrying, then we go thirsty because we cannot drink from seawater. Can we perform ablution with seawater? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, its water is pure and purifying. And the animal's aquatic life in it, when they die, it is permissible for us to eat. It is lawful. So that hadith is exempting the generality of this verse. So if a person is the Qur'ani and he says he wants to use the Qur'an alone, it means he should not eat fish until he slaughters the fish himself. But pike fish and any other catch fish that he eats is forbidden, based on the literal text of the Qur'an. Likewise, spleen and liver. These are also blood that have formed. So it is permissible. Likewise, blood that are contained in meat. Because in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qul la ajidu fi ma uhiya ilayya muharraman ala ta'imin yat'amuhu illa an yakuna maytatan aw daman masfuhan." دم المصفوحة. The blood that is spilled, the blood that is already flowing. That is what Allah SWT prohibited. But here it talks about a dam, which means the blood that will be contained in the heart of an animal also will not be permitted. While the Ummah is unanimous in the fact that a blood that is contained in a flesh is allowed. One can eat it. If you cook a food, a meat, and there is blood in the meat, it is allowed for one to eat such meat. It is not prohibited. ولحم الخنزير. Allah has also prohibited the meat of the swine, pig meat, everything about the pigs, the blood, the flesh, the skin, the fat, and everything in it is prohibited. Then it's Roma Uhilladihi Bighayri Allah. And anything that has been slaughtered and sacrificed, dedicated to other than Allah. Somebody wants to slaughter and he mentioned other than Allah's name, it is not permissible to eat it. Likewise, a person who has mentioned Allah's name, but that sacrifice is dedicated to a god, it is not permissible to eat it. It is part of ma uhilladihi bighayri Allah. It has been dedicated to other than Allah. The name of other than Allah has been declared on it. So here there are three categories of people that will make sacrifices. Somebody can be a Majusi, those who worship fire, al-Wataniyun, those who worship idols, and al-Mu'attilun, those like the atheists who don't believe in the existence of God. These three categories of people, when they make sacrifices or slaughter an animal, it is haram for a Muslim to eat it. Unlike the Ahlul Kitab, the Christians, the Jews, that believe in Allah, but they have a distorted belief system. The Quran has permitted that وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. The food of those that have been given the book before you is permitted. And Abdullah ibn Abbas translated that to mean what they slaughtered. It means when a slaughter, Christians make a slaughter, it is allowed for a Muslim to eat from it. Unlike somebody who worships idols. You know, in the past, we used to know that, okay, when a Christian slaughters something, then it is not permissible for the Muslims to eat. And that is why in most cases, whenever they want to slaughter, they call the Muslims to slaughter for them, so that they can eat from it. Now, the Mufassirun will say it is allowed even when they slaughter, because they are people of the book, and the Quran has permitted that we eat their food. And what is meant by the food there is what they have slaughtered. So, فَمَنِتُّرَّ غَيْرَ بَعْجٍ. All of these are prohibited. However, whoever is forced to eat one of them, غَيْرَ بَعْجٍ, but with two conditions. غَيْرَ بَعْجٍ, he is not eating it out of transgression. وَلَا عَادٍ, and he is not crossing limits. There are two explanations to this. When they say غَيْرَ بَعْجٍ, meaning he is not an aggressor, like somebody who maybe he is moving on an aggression or on an aggressive mission. Like somebody who decides to rebel against his leader, or somebody who tries to run away from his Islam, who tries to run away from his master, or somebody who is committing a crime while upon that state, and then he is now forced to eat to survive. All these categories of people, it is not lawful for them to eat. It is somebody who is on a journey that is lawful, a lawful journey, a lawful situation, and then he finds himself in a necessity. Then the Quran says, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. If he eats from any of these, there is no sin on him. And this is the basis for that legal maxim in the Sharia that they would say, الضرورات تجيب المحظورات. That necessities make prohibited items to become lawful for people. Now, so it is permissible for one to eat some of these. When the Quran says, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ, there is no sin on the person that does that. And there is also another legal maxim that says, الرخص لا تنات بالمعاصي. Any ease that the Sharia provides, it does not affect somebody who commits a sin. It does not affect a sinner. Like in the Sharia says, when you are traveling, you can make qasr. Qasr is a lenience that the Sharia made. But now it will be restricted to a person who is traveling and his travel is legitimate. Not somebody who is going to gamble somewhere and then he is doing qasr. He is not entitled to qasr because he is going to do gambling. Or somebody who is going to the zina somewhere and then he is traveling, then it is not lawful for him to do qasr. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi alayhi rahmatullahi in his tafsir, he mentioned that if there are two options for a person who is in a necessity, there are two alternatives for him. Yes, he is not in a necessity to survive. He has to eat something to survive, else he dies. But now he has two alternatives. He has pork meat. for instance, and he has a lawful food that belongs to somebody else. These are two prohibited food items to him. Imam al-Qurtubi said it is based on like a consensus among the scholars that he must not eat the pork meat. He should rather eat the food that belongs to somebody else. Meaning he could steal somebody's food to eat, because that food is originally lawful, than for him to eat pork meat that is originally prohibited. So even when somebody is confronted with two alternatives that are evil, he must choose the lesser evil. If somebody is confronted with, okay, going to steal food to eat, and committing zina to survive, maybe somebody commits zina and she is giving food, and somebody who goes to steal food, stealing the food that is lawful is milder than going to commit zina, because one wants to survive to get food to eat. So you would understand that when somebody says it is lawful or permissible that a woman should go to commit zina when she is in a state of necessity, that statement is ambiguous, and it's a statement that can lead people to evil. Rather, the person should look for the least evil, because whenever there are two evils that are confronting one, the fundamental principle of Sharia is irtikab akhaffid dararain. The one goes for the lesser evil. Whenever there are two evils confronting one, the one must choose the lesser evil. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in a number of hadith, the person who went to a farm and he is hungry, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said he can take from the farm and eat, but he should not make takeaway. He should not gather and take home. No, he can eat from the farm and he can eat from somebody's food without his consent. When he comes, he calls, if the owner of the farm is not there, he can take from it out of necessity. So it is not left for a person to just commit any form of crime in the name of necessity. Some scholars will say, فَلَا إِسْمَ عَلَيْهِ, there is no sin on him if he does not go beyond limits. They say, meaning he should not transgress in even eating that meat or that food. If somebody has pork meat and now it is legal for him to eat, not to die, they said he should just take three muscles and that's sufficient. What will prevent him from dying? It's not if he would eat and get killed. They said that is the meaning of not going, not being transgressive and going beyond the limit. The limit is to cut down the qadariya. The necessity must be within limits. And we cannot say a person is in a state of necessity until he does not have alternative. And then he's in a situation that can cost him his life. He's in a difficult situation. And then there is no any alternative except that thing that has been prohibited. And then he will only do, he will only commit that crime. He will only eat that food. Or he will only take that thing if there is that assurance that it is going to alleviate the situation. It must be that it is going to alleviate the situation. What he fears, if he is going to die or something bad is going to happen to him, when he does that thing, it will surely alleviate the fear. That is the only time it is permissible for him to take. There are so many things with respect to this. So a person should not be always at the rurat, to be with the rurat, and he falls into committing crimes without looking at the legal mechanisms that are attached to that.
إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزل الله من الكتاب ويشترون به ثمنا قليلا أولئك ما يأكلون في بطونهم إلا النار لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى والعذاب بالمغفرة فما أصبرهم على النار ذلك بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق وإن الذين اختلفوا في الكتاب لفي شقاق بعيد.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back to talk about those people that were given the book and they concealed the information in the book. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Allah said, indeed, الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ, those who conceal مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, what Allah had revealed in the book. وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and they purchase it for a little price. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَعْقُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارَ. Such people do not eat in their stomach except hellfire. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah will not talk to them on the day of judgment. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. Allah will not purify them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. On the day of judgment, they will have a severe punishment. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Such people are those who have purchased al-dhalala. They have purchased misguidance. Bil-huda. At the price of guidance. Wal-adaba bil-mukhira. And they purchased punishment at the price of forgiveness. Fama asbarahum ala al-nar. You wonder how much patience they would have ala al-nar upon hell. Allah said, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the book with truth. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ. And those who have differed concerning the book, لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ, are in a very far disagreement. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Jews and those who also follow the path of the Jews, because they are the ones that are mentioned here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. They conceal what Allah has revealed in the book of the qualities and attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are mentioned in their book at Torah. They conceal them. They don't want people to know them. And they conceal all the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has mentioned in their book. When a person commits a crime among them, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asks them, what is the rule of Allah concerning this? They say something else. They say something contrary to what is mentioned in their book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, such people, الَّذِينَ يَبْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, who conceal what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the book. The book here refers to all the books, whether it's At-Tawrah, whether it is Al-Injil, or even Al-Qur'an. وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they buy or they purchase little gains, little profits, little prices with those words of Allah. They don't tell people the truth, because telling them the truth will make them not to give them what they want to give them. Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَعْقُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارَ. Such people who will go to conceal the truth because they want to be given money, they want to be given position, they want to be given honor and privileges. مَا يَعْقُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارَ. They don't eat anything in their stomach except hellfire. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah will not talk to them on the day of judgment. For compromising the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for material gains, like many people do. When they find out that there are people who sponsor them, there are people who give them money, or they have an organization or society or sect, that the only way they get position and authority and respect is maintaining leadership in those places, they refuse to tell their followers the truth. Allah says, such people do not give anything except hellfire. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And on the day of judgment, Allah will not talk to them. Allah will not talk to them in a way that is pleasing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not talk to them. If there is nobody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not talk to, but Allah will not talk to them in a way that will make them to get the pleasure of Allah. وَلَا يُذَكِّيهِمْ. Neither will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify them by praising them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they will have a severe punishment on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Those who will want to prepare their position. Like one of the deviants that we know in this town, one of the major deviants in this town, it is mentioned on several authorities that he once told some people that, you are asking me to leave this sect that I have created, this sect that has given me money, has given me houses, has given me a lot of cars, I have gotten so many things. When I was with you, what did I have? I had nothing when I was with you. Now I have created this sect and I have so much money. So you want me to come back and become wretched and poor the way you are? Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. They know that what they are calling to one of the sects, one of the leaders of the sects of this town. It is mentioned on several quotas. He is the leader of the Qur'aniyun in this town. He said it several times to people, and people have had it saying it. That if I leave what I'm doing, then what you want me to be wretched? You want me to become wretched? So أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. They have purchased misguidance and given the price as huda. They gave out guidance and took this guidance. وَالْعَذَابَ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. And for what they have done, they have given out Allah's forgiveness and they have purchased the punishment of Allah. فما أصبرهم. ما أصبرهم يا تعجب. One would wonder how they are able to endure what they are benefiting for the punishment they will endure in the hereafter. How will the person know he's going to be punished in the hereafter and that what he is eating is hellfire and he will continue to eat it because of the monetary gain he's getting in this world? ذلك بأن الله Allah said this punishment is there for them because أن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق Allah said Allah has revealed the book with truth and all that is in the book is true. So they are supposed to explain to the people what is contained in the book. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا Allah said, you see these two truths that have differed? لَفِي الْكِتَابِ concerning the book لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ They themselves, they don't agree with themselves. They will also differ. Their argument and dispute among themselves is also very, very much. So here we are encouraged not to conceal the truth. And one should know that concealing the truth is dangerous to his hereafter. It is destructive to his hereafter. No.
ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this great verse of the Quran that tells us some of the fundamental principles of life and how people should be. That Islam is not a religion of laying claims. We don't just lay claims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ Righteousness, al-birr means righteousness, piety, faithfulness. Faithfulness, righteousness and piety is not just about أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ That you turn your face towards the east and the west. Like some people think. Some people would isolate Islam into a particular thing. And you will forget about other things. Sometimes some people are so much engrossed in al-infaq, spending money for the sake of Allah, spending money and giving people and assisting people. They don't pray, they don't fast, they don't bother about the tawheed and aqidah and iman. Likewise, you find some people who will talk about akhlaq, that we should be good characters, we should have good characters, and that is all they emphasize on. They don't bother about tawheed, they don't bother about the manhaj, they don't bother about other things. There are other people who also would emphasize so much on aqidah. And they will say, so, so long as your aqidah is good, then there is no problem, even if you are having a bad character. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us understand that Islam is a religion that incorporates all of these things together. The only time you become a righteous person is when you try to work with all of these. So it's a لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ Righteousness is not just about you turning your faces قبل المشرق towards the east والمغرب and the west ولكن البر but what is considered to be righteousness من آمن بالله is the one that has faith in Allah واليوم الآخر and the last day والملائكة and he believes in the angels والكتاب and the books of Allah والنبيين and he believes in the prophets of Allah وَآتَ الْمَالَ And he gave out wealth عَلَىٰ رُبِّهِ Despite his love for the wealth. ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ He gave it to his close relatives. وَالْيَتَامَىٰ And to the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ And to the poor. وَبْنَ السَّبِيلِ And to the wayfarers. وَالسَّائِلِينَ And to those who ask. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ And even to emancipate the prisoners or the slaves. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ then he establishes salah wa ata zakata, and he gives zakah, wal mufuna li ahdi, and those who fulfill their promises and covenants, ila ahadu, whenever they make a covenant, والصابرين في البأساء والضراء, and those who are patient in terms of adversity, والضراء, and in terms of ailment, وحين البأس, and in terms of war. Allah said, أولئك الذين صدقوا, those are the ones that are truthful, وأولئك هم المتقون, and they are the righteous ones, they are the people of piety, they are Ahlul Birr. So you see that it is about having a fully integrated package. Islam is a full package. One is not expected to take one of the packages and say, that is what I want. Rather, righteousness is man amana billah, the one who believes in Allah. Wal yawm al-akhir, the last day. Wal malaika. These five that have been mentioned here are the five pillars of faith, five articles of faith that we know. The others are that, the last one is that of al-qadr, believing in destiny. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr. Everything has been created based on destiny. So one would believe in Allah. And believe in Allah is to believe in Allah based on the existence of Allah. For one to believe that Allah exists. And not just believing that Allah exists alone, he believes Allah exists, and he believes that he alone deserves to be worshipped. And he believes in the names and attributes of Allah as mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not sufficient that one believes in the existence of Allah. But he does not believe only Allah should be worshipped. It is not of use to him. Amana billahi means you believe he exists. And you believe that he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And you believe in his names and attributes. Believing that you cannot call Allah any name except what Allah has called himself. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called him. Believing that you cannot describe Allah with any attribute except the attribute Allah has described himself with. And what the Prophet had described him with in his authentic narrations. We don't have the liberty to make insinuations about Allah, calling him names he didn't call himself, or calling, describing him with things that he didn't describe himself with. We don't have that liberty. I had somebody some time ago discussing in his gathering and saying the name of Allah is Muhammad. He said, Allah's name is Muhammad. He said, because Allah is Al-Mannan, Allah is Al-Hamid, Allah is this. So he said, the way you can call somebody, for instance, if you say Ibrahim, the former president, Ibrahim Badamati Babangida, and you say IDB, that is how you can also call Allah Muhammad. Yes, that Allah's name is Muhammad. This is ilhadu fi ismillahi azza wa jalla. This is blasphemy in the name of Allah. Because Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ فَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. We don't make blasphemy. We don't call Allah any name except what Allah has called himself. And what the Prophet called him as a name. It is Allah that knows his name. This is the same person that was saying that if you are asked, مَا رَبُّكَ فَقُلْ مُحَمَّدُ. If they say, who is your Lord? You say, Muhammad. مَا دِينُكَ إِنْ شُرْ سَيْهُ مُحَمَّدُ مَا النَّبِيُّكَ إِنْ شُرْ سَيْهُ مُحَمَّدُ. This is the gathering of Muslims. This is إِلْحَادُ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So believing in Allah, for one to believe in Allah means he should believe in all of these things we have mentioned. The existence of Allah, the rububiyyah of Allah, the uluhiyyah of Allah, the asma wa sifat of Allah. You believe in his existence, you believe that he is the only Lord that created the heaven and the earth, you believe that he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and you believe in his name and attributes as established in the Quran and Hadith of the Prophet of Allah. That is when amana billah. Wal yawm al-akhir, and he believes in the last day. Believing in the last day is believing in anything that will happen after mawt. Al-iman bi kulli ma yahsul ba'da al-mawt. Everything that will happen after a person is dead is part of Yawm al-Akhir. And it is called the last day because after that day there is no more day. It is the last day that marks the end of day. There is no more night and day. So it is called Yawm al-Akhir. Wal malaikati, and believing in the angels of Allah. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described them as his slaves, la ya'asuna Allah ma amaruhum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun, believing that they are created from night, and believing that they are not described as males or females. They are not the daughters of Allah, they are not to be worshipped.
believing that nobody knows their number except Allah, believing that they are of different forms, believing that they have different names and they have different functions, none of them that Allah has mentioned their names to us, we know and we believe in them. Like Jibreel, we know he is Jibreel and we know his function to be in charge of Risala. We know Malik in charge of Hellfire. We know Munkarun wa Nakirun, who are the questioners of the grave. And anyone that Allah has mentioned, Malakul Maut, we know that Allah has mentioned these people or these angels. We know them by their names. For those who don't know, we believe that they exist and that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them. They have their wings. Fatil Samawati wal Ardi. جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث ورباع ويزيد الله ما يشاء. الله يزيد في الخلق ما يشاء. Allah can increase them in their creation the way He likes. So we believe in everything that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about them. والكتاب and we believe in the books. الكتاب all the books of Allah. Those that Allah has mentioned by their names, we believe in them. Those whom He didn't mention by their names, we believe that they also there are books that they are given to them, but we don't know them. Like the book that was given to Nabiullah Salih, Nabiullah Hud, Nabiullah Nuhu alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't know their names, but we believe they are given books. We believe in those books. And those that Allah mentioned as Zabur, Al-Injil, Al-Quran, Suhuf Ibrahim, Suhuf Musa, we believe in all of them. That is believing in the books of Allah. And believing that the books of Allah are not creatures. The words, they are words of Allah and they are not creatures. It is part of believing in the book. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. This is the articles of faith that we have mentioned. Now, aside from the faith also, he needs to also work on his mu'amalat. And that is what Allah talks about here. And the best of mu'amalat that they would say is بَطْلُ الْزَدَى وَكَفُّ الْأَدَى. Making people benefit from your good and not harming them. So Allah mentioned that of بَطْلُ الْزَدَى. Giving the good, making people benefit from what Allah has given you. He said وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Righteousness is about somebody that gives out his wealth. Allah hubbihi. Despite the fact that he likes it. It is not giving out what you don't like, what you don't need anymore. Something that is no longer relevant or useful, then you give it out. No, it is giving out the best of what you have and one of the things you love also. Like Allah said, لَنْ تَنَامِ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ لَنْ تَنَامِ الْبِرَّ. You cannot attain righteousness and piety حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Until you spend from that which you love. You spend from what you love. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَعَسِيرًا. Even when they want to feed, they feed people طعام على حبه. They love the food, but they give it out. وَيُطْعِمُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلُكَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. So it is about preparing people. So Allah said, you give wealth that you love. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. Allah said, what you want to spend? لَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ. Don't look for the bad ones. تُنْفِقُونَ spending that وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ. If you were to be given, you will not accept it. إِلَّا أَنْ تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. Except if you are forced to. Taking something you don't want, maybe the clothes that you know that it's supposed to be thrown into the dustbin, and you say, let me just give it to somebody. Maybe a relative or a friend or a neighbor or an orphan. No, you give them what is valuable. Spending from that which is valuable is what the Sharia wants. So it's about spending wisely, spending things that are valuable. وَآتَ الْمَالَ. He gives the wealth عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. And this is not zakat. This wealth that Allah is talking about here is not the zakat, because the zakat is going to be mentioned after salah. So here he's talking about sadaqat, charity. وآت المال على حبه. He gives wealth على حبه despite his love for the wealth. ذوي القربى. He gives it to his close relatives. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged giving charity to close relatives. He said, if you give charity to your close relative, you have two rewards. You have the reward of sadaqah and you have the reward of silat al-rahim, tying the bond of kinship. And that's why when the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she wanted to give zakat. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, her husband, he said, you can give me the zakat. She said, I want to know, can I give him the zakat? The Prophet said, you can give your husband the zakat, and you get the reward of giving the zakat, and you get the reward of tying the bond of kinship, because you have that qaraba with your husband. It is the husband that cannot give the wife and cannot give his children, but the wife can give the husband zakat. So giving close relatives, one's relatives, his uncle, his nephews, cousins, it is part of the best salaqah one can give. And that is what Allah started with it. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَىٰ. One should not be decided to spend to those who are far away from him. And he limits his close relatives in abject poverty. It is not what the Sharia encourages. One starts with his close relatives. Then وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. The poor, the needy, those who do not have what is sufficient for them. Yes, they have a means of livelihood, but it does not cater for their needs. Those are the masakin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the miskin is not the one that when you give him a luqma, a muscle of food, or two muscles of food, he goes back. Or you give him a date or 2 days, he goes back. That is not the miskin. The miskin is the one who has money, but his money does not take care of his needs. Meaning there are people that maybe you find somebody selling tomatoes, selling, maybe he's a shoemaker, people having petty trades. Giving them is part of what makes righteousness. Not the beggars on the streets who have made their profession. They have not been, they are professional beggars. No, not such. Miskin, he will not come to ask people, but people know that he is in need. Such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages that he should also be given part of the wealth. And that is what the Sharia encourages. وَبْنَ السَّبِيلِ likewise the way they are. And he is the traveler that might be having wealth where he is coming from or where he is going to. But while on the journey, he does not have the provision that will take him to his destination. That is the musafir. وَبْنَ السَّبِيلِ. The one that is, he might be wealthy, he might be poor. But at the time he is on his journey, his provision is exhausted. It is permissible for them to be assisted. Assisting such people is part of the righteousness. وَالسَّائِلِينَ. And those who ask, who are forced to ask out of necessity, out of need, those are the sa'ilun. That is what the Quran says, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. The one who comes to ask you, don't shout at him, don't scold him. There are people who will come to because وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In your wealth, there are two categories of people that have a right in your wealth. The first is السائل, the one who comes to ask because he is forced to, he is pressed and he's coming to ask you. He has a right in your wealth. وَالْمَحْرُومِ, the one that doesn't ask. He feels heavy. He feels shy to ask people. He's also having a right in one's wealth. So what that means is not the professional beggars, rather those who ask, they come to ask people. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith of Qabis bin Mukharik al-Hilali. He said, تَحَمَّلْتُ حَمَالَةً, in the hadith of Muslim. He said, I took up a liability upon myself. The hadith is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi also. He said, I took up a liability. Al-hamala is for somebody to take another person's liability. Like somebody who has committed, maybe he's indebted, and he's supposed to be in prison. Then somebody comes to say, no, don't worry, I'm going to pay on his behalf. He takes up the liability of another person. He takes up the liability. He said, I took up a liability and I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَتَعَلْتُهُ فِيهَا, and I asked him to give me money to sell through that liability I have taken upon myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا لَا تَسْتَعْلَ إِنَّهَا لَا تَحِلُّ الْمَسْأَلَةُ إِلَّا لِأَحَدِ ثَلَافًا. Asking for money from people is not lawful except for three categories of people. The first is مَنْ تَحَمَّلَ حَمَالَةً, the one who takes up another person's liability. He can ask until he is able to pay that liability for you sick, then he will stop asking. The second category of people is man asabat ujabiha, somebody that was afflicted by a calamity, maybe in his farm, in his well, or in his shop. Maybe there is an inferno in the market and he became bankrupt, or he planted and he became, maybe there are some diseases, or something happened to his well. Maybe he was attacked, his money, he was kidnapped and his money was used to ransom him. Such a person has the right to ask until he gets something that he will use to satisfy himself, to start a new life, become dead. The third category of people are those who are in abject poverty. And we have three people, the Prophet says, three people from amongst his clan will now testify that this person is in abject poverty. This person is an object of poverty. This person is an object of poverty. It is also allowed for him to ask. So giving such a people is also acceptable as far as the Sharia is concerned. He said, what are they called? These are with reference to people that have maybe, they call them al-mukatabu, slaves that have been given some kind of arrangement to free themselves, to either walk and free themselves. So one can assist such a person in freeing, in regaining freedom. He said, wa aqama salata, and he establishes salah, wa ata zakata, and he gives zakah. He observes the salah, pray at the right time of salah, pray the way the Prophet said we should pray, wa ata zakata, and he gives zakah. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا, and those who fulfill their promises when they make promises. They fulfill their covenants when they make covenants. And the first of all covenants is الْعَهْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَا رَبِّنَا, the covenant that exists between we and Allah, that we are going to worship Him alone without partners. We should fulfill that covenant. We should fulfill the promises we make to people. We should fulfill the promises we make to our assistants. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا, he said, وَصَابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ, and those who are patient, فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ, when they are in poverty, وَالضَّرَّاءِ, and when they are afflicted by illness, وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ, and when they are in the battle front, they are patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, such are those that have said truth as far as righteousness is concerned, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْمُتَّقُونَ, and they are the people of taqwa. All of these verses, they have more explanations, but I think with the little we have said and considering time, we'll stop on this. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hoping that Allah Ta'ala will give us the ability to be able to incorporate all of these teachings into our lives, spending in the cause of Allah and channeling our work into the right direction. It is one of those fundamental things that the Ummah should be rooted in. Allah Ta'ala assist us, may He accept it from us. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
There are four of things that we give up here. We give up here instead of saying other things. So how do we go about that? This generation we give up here.
Yes, that the people of the book that okay said that Ruwan, which was mentioned because of the tafsir, that even when they make their solitary, it is permissible for the Muslims to eat. What the people of knowledge say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their feet. Because the fact that they say Isa is the son of Allah and he is one of the three gods and the like, these are known faith as far as Islam is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ, that Allah is one of the three gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of them. Yet He said He has legislated for us to eat from their food. So it means even then they will slaughter in the name of those gods. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered it. Because what they do, like we have mentioned, there is a hadith of the Prophet that says there is nobody that insults Allah like the one that says Allah has a son. But we don't consider the Christians saying Jesus is the Son of God to be an insult to Allah that will attract a penalty on them. Because to them, it is not a derogatory statement to Allah. It is a faith, it is part of their faith which is wrong. So, and that is why it is considered in the Sharia. So when they make sacrifices, irrespective of what they call, so long as it is not dedicated to other than God, then it is accepted. But if they go to slaughter, like even if a Muslim slaughters to a jinn, for instance, it is not going to be accepted even when he says Bismillah. Likewise, if their slaughtering is also dedicated, and we know that it is dedicated to other than Allah, then we will not eat from it.
What is the
No, if he squeezes, the neck, it is not slaughter. If it cuts the veins, even if it is from the back, it is accepted. Even if it is slaughter from the back, it cuts the jugular veins, then it is accepted. Even if it is a Muslim that slaughters that way, it is still accepted. But strangling or hitting with the stick, all this makes it to be al-maita. Yeah. Whether the Muslim does it or the Christian does it, it is still the same. No. Our record are not classified to be criminals that have been put in prison. Criminals in prison are not considered to be record. And maybe I should say this. I used to say it in some places, but maybe I should just say it here. That we need to, as far as prisoners are concerned, people that have been convicted, yes, we know there are people who are convicted wrongly, but the majority of those that are in the prison are usually criminals. When we talk about going to prisons and others, most Muslim organizations, we like focus more on the welfare and the materials. That, okay, what do we take through that? Which is a very, very wrong displacement of priorities. What we should be after is how to reform them. They are there for reformation. We should consider the reformation first. If the materials come as a way of enticing them, then good. But the first point of call is how do we make them better, to come out as better people, so that they become reformed even while they are in the prison. Because what took them there is the crime. It is the crime that took them there. So have they really repented? We should be bothered about their repentance more than what we want to take to them of Milo and other things that we always bother ourselves with. So the da'wah should be the most important thing. So if a person has money and he wants to give the card, he cannot go to the prison and then he says, okay, let me free this person because now they say he should pay it after he has consumed somebody's money. No. He shouldn't, he's not very calm. If his case is of a crime, somebody who is indebted, he is in prison because he was indebted, now he wants to pay his debts. Now he falls under the category of walharimin, those who are indebted, not because he is any calm. A free slave, a slave that is to be freed. So there are two different situations. Wallahu a'lam wa ta'ala a'lam. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين يا راحم الضعفاء والفقراء والغرباء والمساكين، أنزل رحمتك علينا وعلى والدينا وعلى سائر المسلمين الموحدين في كل مكان. And before I conclude the prayer, this is with respect to where the person should place his zakat. This answer I have given is with respect to where a person should place his zakat. But as far as your personal money is concerned and you want to use it for charity, yes, you can go to the prison yard and pay for anybody to get his freedom. Your personal money, you want to do sadaqah. What I have just explained now is using zakat money. Zakat money has masarif, where they must be channeled to. But when you have money and you just want to be maybe philanthropical in nature and you want to spend, you can go there and free some criminals if you know they have repented, so that you don't bring out criminals into the society and they begin to terrorize the community. Uh-huh. So there are two things, spending one's money and giving out zakat. What I said, you cannot give, pay for somebody to get freedom in the prison as far as zakat is concerned, because it has specified people that Allah has mentioned. But as far as channeling the world is, there is no problem with that. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin, alhamdulillahi.